And then I'll allow you to be seated. We're going to look at this passage of Scripture today. And I'm going to read several verses of it, so I'll let you be seated when we do that. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You today for everything You do. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for the privilege we have to be here. And Lord, help us today to understand what took place in Genesis chapter 3. And Lord, help us to understand the need that we have today. And Lord, I pray today that Your will be done in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. In Genesis chapter 3, everything that we are comes from this chapter. The reason we go to church, the reason we do anything, is a result of this chapter. This chapter is the key to the whole Bible. The whole entire Bible, this one chapter is the whole key. If you don't get this chapter, you really will never get church. You'll never get the Bible. You'll never get anything. You've got to get this chapter. So let's go to Genesis 3. Let me read it to you, and then we'll look at it. Genesis chapter 3. I got to thinking, I don't know of any passage that I've referred to more in my preaching than this verse. These verses right here. No matter where I'm preaching, it seems like you always end up back here. So as we read through them, kind of get this idea of what's taking place. In Genesis chapter 3, up to Genesis chapter 3, the world was perfect. Now, I don't know if we can grip that or not. But I just wrote down in my Bible, there was no fear. How many here have any fear? We all have fear.
Amen.
I mean, Bobby, I felt so excited sometimes that I just kind of wanted to run and jump. But I don't do it because I'm afraid what somebody might think. Before Genesis chapter 3, nobody had fear.
That's right.
You didn't care what anybody thought. You did. There was no fear. I can't imagine living with no fear. But that must be pretty awesome, isn't it? No fear. Then I wrote down, there was no pain. Now, you and I have pain all kinds of ways. We have physical pain. We have mental pain. Where we hurt on the inside. I even think we have spiritual pain. Where our spiritual life is hurting and lacking a little bit. But before Genesis chapter 3, there was no fear and no pain. And I even wrote this down. There was no hurt. You couldn't hurt anybody's feelings because hurt feelings was not ever existed. Can you imagine living in a world where you never got your feelings hurt? I can't imagine this. But the world that Adam and Eve were living in was a world with no pain, no fear, no hurt. It was a perfect place. How in the world could they give that up? What caused them to give that up? The very thing that causes you and I to do wrong is the very thing that caused them to give up that perfect world. Now let me ask you a question. If they knew what was going to happen, do you think they would have done it? No. But how many of you have done wrong? If you knew what the consequences were going to be, would you have done it? No. So there you go. The same thing happened to them, the same thing happened to us. So let's read the story, and then we'll look at a few things. Number one, verse number one, chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, does anybody find that interesting? Snakes talking. You know, I'm reading this story over and over thousands of times probably. And about 5 years ago it hit me. Snake walks up, starts talking to me. I run. So apparently, Tommy, in the world before Genesis 3, animals talked to humans. You didn't hear it here.
But this snake's talking, isn't it? She doesn't run because she don't have fear. Because fear hasn't been invented yet. Wow. Look at this. And the serpent said, "Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." But that's not how he said it. He asked it as a question. "Ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden." You know the first thing the devil did? He convinced Eve that God was withholding something from them. How many of you have ever felt that way? That God's holding back? You ever felt like, if God loved me, why is this happening? You know what the devil was doing to Eve? The devil was trying to convince Eve that God really don't even love you. Because if God loved you, Peggy, He'd let you eat everything in the garden. He's withholding from you. That means He don't love you. And so he answered a question. Was the question true? Has God said you should not eat of every tree in the garden? Was that true? It was true. God said you can't eat of every tree in the garden. Verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." I've always thought that's so cool. I caught this very early in my ministry, and I like to share this with everybody. Did Eve tell the truth?
No.
She did not. So I want to show you how you know that. Go to chapter 2, and my Bible just crossed the page almost directly. Verse 17, chapter 2. Verse 16, so you know who's talking. "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." What did Eve add that God had not put? God didn't say anything about touching it. I don't think it was a sin to look at it or touch it. But I want you to know this today. I believe today some of our biggest trouble happens when we look at stuff we shouldn't look at.
Amen, that's right.
I think some of the biggest trouble we get in today is we touch stuff we shouldn't touch. So I want you to know something. From Adam and Eve's little deal in the garden, you and I better be careful what we look at. We better for sure be careful what we touch, because those things may lead us into bigger problems. But God simply set the rules, and He said, you can eat of every tree but one, but you can't eat of this one. So already the conversation is beginning to change what God said. Anytime you and I change what God said, we're in trouble.
Amen.
We live in a world that's changing quickly. And the Word of God is changing quickly. Other versions are coming out, more user-friendly, more politically correct. But I want you to know something. God said what He meant, and He meant what He said. If something's wrong, it's wrong. It will never be right. It'll always be wrong. If it was wrong when you was a kid, it's still wrong when you're raising your kids. If it's wrong when your grandparents were growing up, it's wrong for your grandkids. Did you notice how the world's changed, though? What used to be wrong for us to do, they do now. But that doesn't mean God's okay with that. Man has always tried to change God's Word to fit them. But it will never work that way. So the story goes on. It says this. "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods." What?
"Knowing good and evil."
I thought about this morning when I got up. I was kind of going over this in my head. Do you think that Eve ever had a compassion in her mind to be like God?
Yeah.
See, here's what the Bible says. God said, I am God and there's one. None other. What got Satan where he's at today? He tried to be like God. That's why he's coming to Eve like a snake. Because at that day and time, Satan's been kicked out of heaven because Satan tried to be like God. And so the key to the whole thing is, Satan tries to get you and I to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. You and I are not God. We were never intended to be God. We're not God. And so, Satan comes to Eve and he says, you won't surely die. But the moment you eat thereof, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I think this is so cool. Evil had not even been invented yet. I wish it never had, Joe. I'd love to wake up one morning and know that there's no evil.
Amen.
Some man don't break into a 90-some-year-old lady's house and rape her and beat her up for $20.
Yep.
Wouldn't you love to wake up in that world where somebody doesn't abandon a baby in a dumpster? Wouldn't you like to wake up in that world? Anybody here? But Satan says, oh, you don't know the real thing. You need to know what evil's like too. You can be like God. And Eve began to think at that moment. See, every day of our lives, Satan is coming to you and I, saved or lost, and he's trying to convince you to be like God.
Yeah.
Not to call upon God. See, you'll never be saved until you realize you don't meet up to God's expectations.
That's right.
When it comes to measuring up to God, you're zero. Aren't you glad you came today? My job is to make you feel horrible. But realistically, the devil and his preachers today want you just to feel bubbly and good, but God wants you to understand without Him, you're nothing.
Amen.
That's why people won't get saved today, because they don't realize they need to. That's why this is so important for you to read today, because what happened to Adam and Eve was simple. They had it made. They had no fear. They listened to Baptists. They probably danced. And they didn't care who saw them. But you know what? Oh, we can't. We're afraid. We're afraid, ain't we? We're afraid to do anything. Because we don't know. Jeff said it was wrong. We don't know what's right or wrong now. We listen to everybody. But you know, back then, it was perfect. And they gave all of that up. Why? So they could be like God. Folks, you and I never be like God. We're His children.
Yep.
We'll know Him as He is. I'm looking forward to that. But I'm not going to scoot Him over and take His spot. Amen? He's God, and there's none other. Well, here's how the story goes. You know the story. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. Has that ever happened to anybody here? You looked at something and your eyes began to glimmer.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever get thirsty? Folks, the first time, that's a dry mouth right now. I can sure drink that. Boy, just you see that icy stuff running down the side of that? Y'all with me? It's a tree to be desired. To make you what? Why? You ever notice a good beer commercial? Come on, Baptist. He said beer from the pulpit. You ever seen the beer commercial? He's ripped and buff. He grabs that bottle out of the ice cold chest. Piece of ice runs down the side of it. Two blondes, half naked, hooked onto his arm. Y'all ever seen them commercials? You've never seen the commercial where the car slammed into a tree and the guy is halfway sticking out the windshield and in the floors the beer spilling over. You don't see that one, do you?
That's right.
Because the devil wants to paint the picture pretty. Right. Folks, sin is it not always how it appears? And I tell everybody this. I think Bathsheba was beautiful. I think she might have been one of the best looking women in Jerusalem. And when David was up on the roof and he looked across the way, the devil said, "Look at that.
Yeah.
You can have her. You know you're the king. You can have anything you want." And folks, the same things happen to us today. The devil puts stuff in front of us. You can have this. This can be yours. Enjoy. And you know what happened to Adam and Eve? The Bible said it was a tree to be desired. It looked good. It was pleasant. And the Bible said that she ate. And she gave also to her husband with her. And he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Verse 8 is my favorite verse in the whole story. See, every one of us sitting here today has had an Adam and Eve experience. We've seen something that was desirable. We liked how it looked. We could almost taste it. We could almost visualize it in our life. And we partook of it. But how many of you have had the same thing happen to me when you did that? God showed up. You wasn't expecting this. You ever done the wrong thing or been at the wrong place and somebody from church see you? I remember this as plain as day. And these ladies, we joke about it all the time. But the liquor barn in Lexington used to have the best party supplies. Cheapest. For like birthday parties and all that. So a lot of times people would go up there and they'd go buy the party supplies. Nothing else but the party supplies. So I'd been in a restaurant eating, and I came out, and these two ladies that I was pastor of were carrying their party supplies out of the liquor barn. And they had like the look on their face like y'all can't imagine. And they ran up to the window of my car, and I rolled the window down, and they're explaining, "We're just getting party supplies. We weren't getting beer. We wasn't." And they told me after that day they never went to the liquor barn and bought party supplies ever again. And I said, "You didn't do nothing wrong. You didn't do nothing wrong. You don't tell me." "Oh, but we feel so bad because we were in there." "You didn't feel bad till the preacher drove by. That's when you felt bad." Am I right? Can I get an amen from somebody's building? Well, that's realistic. Adam and Eve, you know, they're feeling all of a sudden, "Woo, you're naked." They started sewing stuff together and making things, covering up stuff, and look who shows up. I like how this reads. I wish I could draw this. This would be a pretty picture. "And they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." Little breeze blowing through the trees, text. They heard God walking. Maybe that's where the song "Footsteps of Jesus" makes the path. How do they hear God walking? Well, here's what I'm going to tell y'all. I believe every day, Wendy, every day, God came down to spend time with them in the garden.
Yeah.
There when it's hot, in a cool day under a tree, and visit with them, talk to them. And here's what God does. God always comes right on time. When the disciples were drowning in the boat, who showed up right on time? He did. They didn't drown. And who showed up on Adam and Eve right on time? Except this time they were caught. How many of you can raise your hand today and say, "Preacher, I know exactly how they felt. I've been caught."
Amen.
What do you do with that? How do you fix that? Well, God took care of that for you. Read the rest of the story with me. This is so us. "They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the garden of the day, cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees." Why are they hiding from? Really? Hey, we may think we're hiding from other people. You're hiding from God. Because all your sins against God. It may affect Jeff or Joe or Jack, but it's against God. And who they had to hide from was God. But listen to God. God's got such a sense of humor. Y'all don't think so. Y'all see God as this mean person. But I see God as a loving Father. Now look at this and tell me I'm not telling you the truth. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" Now y'all, listen to me. How many of you think God knew where He's at?
Yes, sir.
This is part of God's sense of humor. Where are you, Adam? Y'all ready? And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid." Remember, there was no fear before. God showed up every day. They never was afraid. I sit and wonder sometimes how long it was between Genesis 2, when God performed that wedding, and Genesis 3. It could have been thousands of years, couldn't it have? Could have been a long time. I don't know how long it was. But I know this. For the first time in their life, they were afraid of God. Afraid of God. Now look at this. "Because I was naked and hid myself." Here's God's sense of humor. "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Who told you that you was naked? You were born naked, Adam. You've always been naked. Who told you all of a sudden you was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" Look at me a second. Y'all got to get this. What's missing in our world today is acknowledgement that we do wrong.
Yeah. That's right.
We used to use the word repentance. And that was a big word for Baptist preachers. And for some reason, we've kind of moved that word out of our vocabulary. Let's bring it back. Repentance is when you agree with God and you go a different direction. That's what needs to start happening to God's people. See, God knows everything He's asking. Does He not? Does God know everything about you? Then why does He want you to admit that to Him? Because that'll do you a world of good. If you can acknowledge you did it and realize you did it, that will help you in the future to not walk. Do it again. So look what He says. He said, "Who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman thou gavest me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat it." I like that one. The wife. The woman you get. A while ago, greatest thing in this world, right? Genesis chapter 2. "She shall be called woman because she was taken from man." I mean, he's so pumped up and so excited, but now he's in trouble and he said, "The woman." I didn't ask for her, by the way. You gave her to me. You see that? Y'all see that? "The woman thou gavest me." Nowhere did I ask, you gave. But Eve, she's a typical lady. She takes the blame. She says, "I got it." Here's what happened. The Lord God said unto the woman, "What is it that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." The devil made me do it. How many of you ever used that? Everybody in the buildings used it sometime. That stinking devil. "I've done good, Leroy, if it wasn't for the devil." You know the devil has not made anybody ever do anything. All he's got to do is sit in front of you. And God in His book said, "Don't do it." And now the game's set. It's a game now. Anytime you tell your kids not to do something, how many of your kids will do it? Somebody needs to write a book on parenting that's been successful parents. If you're a successful parent, raise your hand. Paul Blanton raised his hand. Can you imagine that? Big and high, too. He thinks because he's got a gun and a taser, he's a good parent. I'll shoot him or kill him. Isn't it amazing how many of us use this? The devil made me do it.
Yep.
Tell your kids not to touch the buttons on the television when they can barely walk. And y'all, if you're against spanking, close your eyes. But a lot of parents will do this. No, and you say what? No, no. No, no. No, no. So he walked up to the television like this. Am I right? Come on. Grandma over here is grinning. I've seen him. Leroy just did the same thing, didn't he? And next thing you know, you're not looking. And they see you and walk. Am I right? That's what's happened to us. Now the key is this. What happens in the end of the story is so key for you and I. See, I want you to get this story today because this story is a forgotten thing in our society. That's why people don't need to be saved anymore. People just need to go to church today. People want a happier marriage. People want to be able to raise their kids better. I need some financial advice. But you know what? Nobody needs saved anymore. But I want you to understand something. What happened to Adam and Eve? By the way, Adam and Eve were our grandparents. Now all of us are cousins.
Right.
Welcome to Kentucky. And that sin passed to every one of us. We're all contaminated. Every one of us needs saved.
Yes,
preacher, I've never needed saved. Well, then I hope you understand today that you're a sinner because of what Adam and Eve did. You've been condemned. They were condemned. If you read the whole story, you'll find out that God chased them from the garden. One thing that I noticed was this. I wanted to read this to you. Go to verse 17. And unto Adam he said, well, let me read 16 because I need to get it all to you. Unto the woman he said, I greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and desire shall be to thine husband, and he shall rule over thee. Look at me, ladies. When you see Eve, you need to have some words. Do you understand what happened to you ladies that day? I've been, when children are born, it's painful. The doctor told me that I had a kidney stone a few years ago, and the doctor said, that's not even comparable to a lady having a baby. And I said, oh, I just hugged Rochelle. I said, God bless you, honey. He said, what? Not only would it be pain in childbirth, but now your desire shall be to let your husband rule over you. When God put them together in Genesis chapter 2, independent Baptists, He didn't mean for the man was the boss. He put them in Genesis chapter 2, and He put them this way. He said the two became one. One flesh. They were a team. They were equal. They were partners. And they walked through the world as a partnership. But that sin, that fall, changed that relationship. And you should strive to still have it, but there'll always be that change in that relationship. And when major decisions have got to be made, and they have to have it happen in our family, and I'll say, but what do you think? And you know what Rochelle says? You're the man. Make the decision. I don't like that. At all. I think if I make the wrong decision, I want her to be part of it. Right? So she kind of just passes it because of this. Do you understand before this sin took place, there were no mosquitoes? Ticks? I heard the other day that a little boy from Somerset, they had him at UK, got bit by a tick, got Lyme disease, having some problems. I've got open heart surgery because of Lyme disease from a stinking little bitty tiny tick. But before this sin, ticks ate wood or something else, but they didn't eat people. And mosquitoes didn't bite. You didn't have to have all. Isn't it amazing how... And listen, guys, have you ever had to clean out a fence row? You know why? Read what it says. Verse 17. Because thou hast hearkened to thy wife and hast eaten of the tree, verse 17, of which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also, thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was taken, for the dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. When you get up in the morning, guys, and you got to go to work, thank Adam and Eve. But you got to work harder than you ever had. See, their job was to tend the garden. How many of you like gardening? I think most people like gardening. But when weeds grow in the garden, how many of you like gardening? Go on vacation and come back. See the garden. Ain't that fun? All because of the curse. Thank God for God's love.
Amen.
Verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Look at verse 21, key verse. Unto Adam also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. For all you PETA people today, God killed the first animals. The Bible said without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So Adam and Eve's fig leaves to cover up their nakedness was taken out of the way, and God killed the first animals, took those skins of those animals, and put clothes on Adam and Eve. You read the rest of the story, they chased them from the garden, never ever enjoy that place ever again. What a way a story should end. Preacher, what does this have to do with you and me today? I skipped one verse on purpose. Verse 15. And I'll conclude it with you. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, talking to the serpent, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Here's what God told the serpent, which was Satan. One day, I'm going to send a child that will be born way down the road from Eve. That child will stomp your head. I love that. You will bruise his heel, but he will stomp your head. Today you and I have an answer for our sin. We have an answer for when we see something that looks good to the eye, and we go and we partake of it, and we realize it was wrong. God shows up, and we have that conviction. We have help. His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Can I give you two verses in closing? I have to read these to you before you go home. Go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 and verse 19. And we'll go home. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And verse 19. See, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, I don't even like the word messed up. People say they messed up. They sinned. They went against God, what God told them to do. They broke God's law. Can you imagine living in a world with only one law? Paul Blanton's out of a job. Because God didn't need anybody to watch them. Because God was the only one protecting, only one watching. And he only had one law. Don't eat that tree's fruit. Period. You can drive as fast as you want to drive. There's no fear. Right? You can go where you want to go. There's no fear. But don't eat that. But they ate it. Now God has a whole book of laws.
Yeah.
Don't do this. Don't go there. You can't say that. Right? You shouldn't have thought that. He's even got laws against how we think. Doesn't he? And how many of us today, Sunday, have already broke some of those laws? Raise your hand.
Amen.
So what do we do? God has a covering for that. Look at him in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here's what God could have done. Adam and Eve running around with their fig leaves. Hiding. And God could have just left them. Y'all done it. Now live with it. But you know what? That's not the kind of God we have. The kind of God we have loves you.
Right.
And so God took the creation that He had made. I think God loved His animals that He had created. Because everyone He had made, the Bible said, He was pleased. Mark's Berry would have been out of business probably, Greg, in that day. Because God loved them. But God took something He loved and He killed it to cover the nakedness of two people that He loved even more, Doug. See, when it comes to you, God loves you more than anything, Scott. I don't know if we buy into this. Well, preacher, I just don't feel like that I'm lovable. It doesn't matter how you feel. God loves you. And look what it said. He commended His love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, this is the key verse. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Because of your great, 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 great grandparents, Wendy, we've been made sinners. But we're all cousins, too. We're all sinners. Every one of us in this building are sinners. I don't feel like sin. Don't matter how you feel, the facts are the facts. You're a sinner.
Yes.
But look at this. That's because of one man's disobedience. But by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous.
Yes, sir.
So Joe Connors, here's what I need you to do for us today. I need you to give little Joe's life so all of us can go to heaven. A problem? He's thinking it's a problem. Dustin Smothers. I need you to give Logan life so all of us can go and have eternal life. But a problem? He says that's a problem. Brett. Release him. You got another baby on the way. Can you not give one so we can all go free? So who's he talking about? By the obedience of one shall be made free. God's Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only, one and only, begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. See, you and I sit right here today, sinners, we know we are. You cannot have heard this today and walk in and say, well, I don't think he's talking about me. It's you. It's me. It's all of us. We all are sinners. But Jesus' life was given because God loved you. I don't understand that love. I've got two sons. I would not give any of them for anybody here. Ever. I can't even comprehend the thought. But God loved you that much. He said, whosoever believeth in me shall not perish but have eternal life. See, all you've got to do is believe in that. Can I ask you all a question? Y'all just read Genesis 3 with me. When God killed those animals and He brought those clothes over to Adam and Eve, did you read where they didn't accept them?
No.
They took them. They received the covering for their sin. Why would you sit in here today and not receive that covering for your sin? That makes zero sense to me. But I want you to understand today, if you walk out of here without Jesus Christ, your sins are not covered.
That's right.
And one day you will perish.
Amen.
The word perish means life without God. So what is heaven? That's where God is. What is hell? That's where God's not. You leave here without your sins covered, you will spend eternity without God. Would you want that? Adam and Eve didn't want it. They took the covering. But people could walk out of here today without it. My prayer for you is simple today. If you've never accepted the payment for your sin, listen, it's a gift. A gift is something that's handed to you, and all you got to do is what? Accept it. Receive it. That's all you got to do. And if you don't do that, you walk out of here, a gift offered, but never accepted. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father,
Lord, I thank You today for that sin debt that was paid in Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, that He was slain like a lamb to cover our sins. Just like You did Adam and Eve's sin in the very beginning. Lord, thank You for giving us a way out. Lord, we fall in the same trap today that Adam and Eve does. We look at things, we desire it, we want it. It's pleasant to the eye. We feel like this will make us better people. But Lord, in the long run, we realize it's just sin. You always show up to remind us we've done wrong. Lord, I'm thankful today for the covering of that sin. Lord, I pray for those in the service who may not be saved today. Lord, You know the need in their life. I pray, Lord, that they just come and accept Your Savior today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing.